There's this day and night sacrifice. Can you remember or not? Nobody can remember. Day and night, right? There's a daily sacrifice, right? Called the Tamid sacrifice. The Jewish people, they have to sacrifice one lamb. Oh, you're just talking about lamb, just now. One lamb in the morning, one lamb in the evening. They have to tend the lamb, tend to the golden, the light, and burn incense. Three things they do twice a day. Speaks of how important we are to have a time of prayer, praise, worship, intercession to God. And we look at how, it is called Tamid because it means regular or continual. If we do it often enough, if we have a set time to pray, to seek God, if we do it regular enough, it becomes a heavenly portal for us. And I've shown from the scriptures how many times, because the disciples, they observe the time of the evening sacrifice, right? Elijah, when he called upon the fire to come down, it was at the time of the evening of sacrifice, when the angel visited who? Can you remember? Daniel? It was at the time of the evening sacrifice. They have been practicing a regular time to seek God. If you set a time in your daily lives, it can be a morning, it can be an evening, it can be two times. Every day you set, 6 o'clock I wake up. Okay, or every day 7 o'clock or at night, 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock onwards is my time with God. If you do it on a continual basis, regularly, unknowingly, you open up a heaven, there's an open heaven. It is not automatic, but the more you do it, there is an open heaven. And if you continue to press in, that open heaven, you carry it wherever you go. Amen? Hallelujah. Yesterday was Thanksgiving Day for US, right? Yeah. So because it's Thanksgiving Day, they gave me a free ebook from somewhere I subscribe. So I'm going to share this free ebook with y'all. But it comes with a condition. It is a challenge. 2020 challenge. Spend 20 minutes a day to pray for 20 days. Practice your day and night. Would you like to do that? Just 20 minutes only. Maybe some of you do not have 10 minutes. It's different if you have public meeting. You attend public meeting 7 days a week. It's different than having a private time with God. It's completely different. You cannot substitute the outside public meeting, your personal time with God, with a public meeting. Yeah. Cannot, man. It doesn't work that way. So as something to spur all of us to do that, I will put that in a group chat group. We'll start. When do you want to start? For 20 days. So every day there's a question there for discussion. I'll post a question in the group. Don't pretend to answer if you do not do it. Okay? Oh, very quiet. Very quiet. 20 minutes for 20 days.
Very quiet.
Agree. Driving cannot. Driving can. I can pray. Suddenly you are caught into heaven.
You put auto drive.
I think auto drive.
Okay. 20 minutes a day. We start next Monday. Give you all 2 days. And seem like very hard something to do, right? Honey, right? I'll do that. It's a short, there'll be some short meditation. Let's spend 20 minutes to pray. There are some easy things we learn. Is that good? See, this doesn't only work in a positive sense. The demonic realm also the same way. People who, in a place, if they practice demonic sacrifice, the longer they practice, there is a demonic portal there. You know, some people walk to a certain place, how come they feel something? Because there is demonic presence, there is a demonic portal. I give you a very, maybe we all think, this is not applicable to me. I give you something we know. Superstition. You know superstition? Huh? If I walk under the ladder, bad luck will happen. Or something like that. Then what do you do? Tashu, right? Christians also do that, you know. Not knowing the origin, not knowing anything, just do like. Why touch it? Just touch lah. For what? No, just touch. You see this? If something, a black cat jump out suddenly, Miss Bona that day.
Then he tell me, hey pastor, real one, really one. That day I saw a black cat, really that day. That like, soy, very soy. Whole day soy, in office soy, everywhere soy. So what is it? Because you have been, it is a principle regularly practice and believe. You believe it is yours. Huh? As Christians, we do not believe. There are higher truths than superstitious beliefs. Many Christians are bound by that. You, if I walk, go there, or something like, must be, oh, gone already, bad luck. Not unusual, right? Am I saying something unusual? Do you believe in superstition?
No.
Right? These are all from animistic belief. People who haven't come to know Jesus. But you see, it opens up things you believe, it opens up to you. Amen? Oh, not just good, it also includes bad things, demonic things. So today I'm going to speak on something very practical. We talk about day and night, we talk about praying. Let's look at Psalms chapter 90, verse 12. Psalms chapter 90, verse 12. Your Bible with you, open to Psalms 90, verse 12. And let's read together in whatever version that you have. Are you ready? Psalms 90, verse 12. In Bahasa is Mazmur, right? Mandarin is Lutian. Indian, I don't know how to say that. I'm sorry. Huh? TBN. Justin, you know any other? Huh? Salmos, yeah, in Spanish. Alright. Psalms 90, verse 12. If you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Let's read it together, whatever version you have. 1, 2, go. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain the heart of wisdom. We all know this verse, right? A lot of people like to use this verse, and there is. What? Funeral or something? Number your days, no? To talk to older people, people like to quote this verse. Teach us to number our days. Why? Because this is a psalm by Moses. Right? Moses said, this, you know, we must ask God to teach us to number our days. Have you thought of it before? Have you seen this verse? Is this the first time? No, right? First time. Huh? Well, everyone stare at me like, you know. So Moses said, teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. So I'm sorry, if this is the first time you look at it, it means the Moses is telling, hey, you have to learn to, in Chinese, what is it? Su suan, is it? Your day. Count your days. Count your days. Number your days. Know that your days are not forever on earth. Correct, huh? We have to be wise. We will not live forever on this earth. Moses said, learn to teach, ask God to teach us. We have to learn to number our days. So this is the normal thing that all of us know. All of us, if you have heard of this verse, of this sermon, on this verse, we know we have to number our days. But if you look further to the original Hebrew word, is the word manah, okay? M-A-N-A-H. M-A-N-A-H. The word number that is mono. Or if you prefer Bahasa Baku, mana. Right? Hebrews is pronounced differently. So to mono our days, to count our days. If you take a concordance, you know, concordance is to tell you, you have the same word there, all the verses that appear in the Old Testament, for example, you will find that not every time it is used as count. Not every time it says number or count. I give you an example. In Daniel chapter 1 verse 5, you know the story of Daniel? He was caught to Babylon, right? Babylon. And then the king said, you must eat the food that I give. Can you remember that? In Daniel chapter 1 verse 5, it says, the king appointed for them. That means Daniel and his friends, the king appointed for them a daily provision of the king's delicacies, of the wine which he drank, and 3 years of training for them. The king of Babylon gathered all the wisest young people of Israel, want to train them. So give them the best food, give them the best wine that he himself drink. These are food and wine from the palace.
So that at the end of that time, they might serve before the king. See, the king is smart. I get the wisest all so that they don't rebel against me. They come under me. I train them, right? And what is the word there? It says, so king appointed. Everyone say appointed. Appointed is the same word that is used for manor, to teach us to number our days, to appoint our days. There is something we can do about our days. Not just to count our days, but it appears that there is a spiritual principle. We can appoint our day. What does it mean? What does it mean? I give you another verse in Jonah chapter 1, verse 17. I read to you. Everybody knows the story of Jonah? Children all know about Jonah, right? What happened to Jonah? What's the biggest character about Jonah? A what? A whale. A whale is the fish, right? Fish is the big character of the story of Jonah. Right? In Jonah chapter 1, verse 17, it says, now the Lord had
prepared
a great fish. Everyone say prepare.
Prepare.
Same word, manoh. M-A-N-A-H. Lord, teach us to appoint our days. Lord, teach us to prepare our days. Do you see that? I can prepare my day. I can appoint my day. Wow. Have you ever thought of that? It's going to be something short that we're going to look at this evening. If you do not understand, let's look at the negative side. A person who does not prepare their day, what would it be like? A person who does not prepare a day. He goes through life. For example, one person wake up, right? At the right side or the wrong side of the bed, wake up, didn't prepare a day, go through life, bang, suddenly happen. Aiyah, not prepared for it, right? Because he doesn't, something happened in the office. Bang, something happened on the road. Bang, something happened at home. He's caught by surprise, right? And what is his response? A person who doesn't prepare his day usually live as victims of the day. Whatever that happens, I'm a victim. This one happened to me. Today my boss face like papaya face. Scold me like... Not scold me like papaya, like papaya can scold. Just papaya face. Scold me. Not because what I did wrong. Because of my colleague who did wrong. Then you are a victim. She's so sad, hurt. Like hurted. Have you ever encountered that? Well, you all look at me like never experienced. You all live in very abundant life. It says, teach us to count our days, number our days, appoint our days, prepare a day. But a person who doesn't prepare their day, the effect is they live like victims in whatever that happened throughout the day. Because I do not know what. Anything that happens, I respond as a victim. Why this happened to me? Because I do not know what this day will bring. Right? So everybody's attitude towards their daily life is to wait passively, see what happens. Hope something good happens. Correct? Hope this is a good day. We are no different than the non-Christians. Hope this is a lucky day. Hope lah. Somebody send you a good morning, happy message. Oh, good lah. Hope. Correct? Lah. But Moses seems to tell us there's a different principle. You and I can prepare, can appoint our day. But you say, I cannot determine, how would I know what is happening at 2 o'clock? How would I know at 4 o'clock the postman will come and bring me some package or bring me a court letter? Bring me a letter of summon. How would I know 5 o'clock? I want to come to the meeting and the boss asked me for a meeting. Another meeting. 3 hours meeting, I come here late, tired. How would I know? Ask me prepare, but I do not know. I can't determine what will happen in that day, right? Many things in our lives, we can't. Who knows what will happen tomorrow? Anybody has that special gift? Maybe you can. Anybody has that special gift? No one? Do you have Sister Christina? No, right? But let's think about it. It means it doesn't matter what will happen on that day. We can prepare a day and don't end up being a victim. Because it doesn't matter what happens on that day. Why do I say that? if you have been looking at the life of Jesus, many times the Pharisees and Sadducees come, lay a trap. Remember? Right? The few weeks ago, we talked about the woman caught in adultery. Can you remember that? They brought a woman. Is it for something good? No, right? To test Jesus. The whole say there today, Jesus will fall into my trap. But Jesus never fell into any of their trap. Do you see that? Jesus is never caught by surprise. Yo, Pharisees come and test me. No, Jesus like panic. Have you ever thought? Jesus is never caught by surprise anything that happens. We always read that Jesus knew the intention of the person speaking to him. Are you following me? Okay, partially it means that actually we should be a prophetic company. I'm not wrong. In the last days, in the book of Joel, we are told that God will pour out His Spirit, and mainly it talks about the communication of God to us. By right, in the last day, we should be a prophetic company. Yes, on one hand, this is true. This is a true principle. Every day, anything happens. But I must live as a prophetic company, a prophetic person. What does it mean? I must be led by the Spirit. Everyone say, led by the Spirit. Right? Many months ago, I thought about spiritual sensations, right? How important it is. God speaks to us, but you don't recognize. So must beat 2 times and you won't pause. Yeah. What does it mean? When you feel something, do you recognize God is speaking to you? Then you will not be caught by surprise. But many times you don't realize if you don't evaluate. What do I mean by evaluate? Many times my wife and myself, we will have a discussion. When something happened, then she will say, I had an impression, I had a mental image. These few days, I had this mental image. Didn't know this happened. Didn't know the Holy Spirit is communicating to her something of this will happen. If God, the Holy Spirit, knows everything, right? And if He communicates to us, means what? You and I can mano beforehand. We can prepare the day beforehand. Amen. That's what I heard from Paul Dina Karen. Paul Dina Karen said, every time before he goes to a crusade, they will pray what will be the area of attack the enemy will go after. Because they know if they do big crusade, they know that something is bound to happen. Sometimes it's the logistic, sometimes it's the mic suddenly, sometimes it's the people running out of control, not enough seat, something will happen. For people who want to do great miracle crusades, you see, they know. They prepare beforehand. So they will pray and God will impress in their heart. This area will happen in this crusade. It is like David. David, before going to war, will always ask for a different strategy. It is a prophetic company. Which means we can prepare for the day. But we do not make it into a very religious practice every day. Like ask God for something. Believe, led by the Spirit. Amen. Until it becomes a lifestyle. Of course, you start by practicing it. What do you mean by practice? Every day wake up, ask God 5 things, what will happen today? Why not? Practice is like that. Nobody will know correct or wrong. You yourself will know, then you recognize. Before you go to work, ask God what is the color of shirt your boss will be wearing. Nobody will know. When you're practicing there, you say, oh, what do you think I'm going to wear tonight? Then black, I think black. You go, oh, black, what do you mean? Then you don't be funny like, oh, I'm prophetic already, oh, I'm going to prophesy about you. Not like that. Okay, this is practicing our spiritual senses. Amen. I always do that. I always reach office, I go there, I just walk to the lift, I think, this will come first. 80% correct. Nobody knows, never mind. I don't have to prophesy. Everybody look, I prophesy this leaf or door will open now. It's not to draw attention. But see, there are things you and I can do, amen. To practice your senses. When I reach the second traffic light, it will turn green. Are you scared now? No, no, you are practicing, right? If you are driving whatever work, you are learning to make your spirit sensitive. I like to do that with leaf and all that, lah, because it's fun, man. Nothing, man. I just because in a car park going up, man, the car park, you cannot know which leaf will come first, man. But you will, for me, sometimes I try to feel, lah. Feel this one will come first. Sometimes it's like, it becomes, you become, certain areas, you become master of it, lah. You are leaf master. I want the second one open, lah. Some people parking expert. In KL, you need to be parking expert. You just know that the parking is somewhere there. Some of you look at me, man. You should pray, man. That's go to true. Parking, huh? True, right? True. Some are parking expert. You go, you know, God, thank you for every time you will help me to find a parking block. Then you go in and you feel, I think it's on the right side. You drive there, lah. I am wrong, lah. This time, not very sensitive, huh? Wrong, because today I didn't. Prepare my heart, not sensitive. Next time, try again. It's not that you, once a year, you go to parking lot. No, right? You always go one. Every time you practice, God, do you think where is the empty parking lot? Huh? Then you just, suka-suka, a thought come to you. Second row, on the right side. Trial, nobody will say, hey, false prophet. Nobody knows, lah. It is only yourself, only, you are prophesying, you're talking to yourself. Second row, right? So people practice like that. Then you see those who move in prophetic anointing, yeah, they say, on the second row behind at the right there, there's a sickness. Eh? You practice long already, or you don't know. Amen. Hey, very practical one. This is not magic one. Maybe some of you thought those people who can do that because of magic. No. Because they learn to practice. You and I can learn to practice. You and I may not have a miracle healing ministry, but you have a prophetic lifestyle. Say amen. Hallelujah. That's how you prepare the day. Amen. Hallelujah. You are led by the Spirit. Sometimes God gives you foresight. That happens to us. Sometimes I just feel that today something will go wrong in my workplace, for example. You just feel uneasy. Sometimes God gives you foresight. Sometimes God leads you by the Spirit. That means as you go along, He gives you a sensation in your spirit. As you move along, He gives you a picture in your mind. Amen. Everybody moves differently, but sometimes foresight, sometimes on the job you get it, right? Hands on. It is led by the Spirit in your sensation. So Jesus was never caught by surprise. One of which is also, every morning He wakes up to pray first. He practices the day and night. One of the things, the day, the morning time you spend with God, is not just I must pray, I must read my Bible, poof, I've done my job. It's a relationship. God, today, you have to show me something about today? Wow, suddenly God gives you a revelation. This is what Jesus got. Before He select all His 12 disciples, He prayed very long in the morning. God showed Him, when you walk here in the beach, you will call these two disciples. He seen all that. You just walk out the plan of God. Amen. Amen. So we don't have to wait passively. It doesn't matter what it brings, as long as we live, led by the Holy Spirit, we practice the prophetic. Maybe prophetic sounds too big. We practice our sheep nature. What is sheep nature? Bible says you and I are sheep. You listen to the voice of the shepherd. You are not prophet. We are not prophet. It's okay, but you are a sheep. Then you can't run away. Amen. Are you a sheep? Who is not a sheep here? Last time, there's a pastor who said, you're not a sheep, and you just cut the goat, cut and then barbecue the goat. Oh, you look very scared. A victim mentality person, usually their lifestyle will lead to a bondage. Every time this thing happens, I'm so fearful that this thing will happen. Every time it happens, I will respond in such manner. Every time the same one, your heart will beat very fast. Okay, that's natural. Maybe it's beyond your control. But every time an unexpected thing happens, you react the first time in fear. Then it comes again. You create your own superstition. When it comes again, you train your mind to react the same way again. A victim mentality will do that repeatedly until they end up in a bondage. That is saying the nice way. Saying the not so nice way is insanity. Gila, gila. Siao. Sok te. Eh, not me. This is quoted by someone. Was it Benjamin Franklin or someone? Insanity is the practice of doing the same thing repeatedly, hoping for a different result. God, give me a breakthrough lah. Please give me a breakthrough in this area. Every time fear comes, you react the same way. And you expect a breakthrough. Is it insane? According to the definition, it's insane. I keep responding the same way, hoping to get a different result. Why you all look at me like that? Then, that is why, when God tells you, you can prepare the day, meaning to say, you and I can evaluate a day. At the end of the day, I will be thinking, this is not the first time I face this matter. Right? This is not the first time my colleague tries to quarrel with me. Hey, I'm giving an example. I don't quarrel with people. This is not the first time. But why every time the colleague quarrels with me, I react the same way? I shout back. Before anything, I react in a defensive way. Before anybody say anything, why? I didn't do anything. Nobody accuse you. No. Your defensive thing, come out already. I didn't do it. Everything come out already. That's insanity. No? If you don't evaluate, every time it becomes a bondage. Some people, some children, they used to it. Some people, parents don't let them watch TV. They suck. Or pout with a pout. They suck. Don't want to study. Or the teacher scold them. That's my first experience, when I went to secondary school. I never seen all this. When the teacher at school, middle finger. I was shocked in secondary school. I went, I respond is that natural. Some people respond in anger. It's a repeated thing. You teach yourself, you do it repeatedly until it becomes a bondage. You do over and over again. Some people have negative talk inside them. You mean something, I cannot do it. The first thing is, die. They are all Chinese, die. So it becomes a bondage. See, you should see, right? No, see, cancel it, break it, rebuke it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And rebuke the spirit of death. Oh, you. Some people react like that. They curse people. Something happened. They get angry. They burst in outrage. It becomes a bondage. A victim. A victim mentality lifestyle will more often than not lead to a lifestyle of bondage. But you see, God tells us a secret there. You can number your day. You can appoint your day. You can prepare your day. Amen. Jesus said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Hallelujah. You don't have to be a victim of the day. Jesus said, I have overcome the world. So every time anything happens, he's cool. In the middle of the storm, people wake him. He's still sleeping in the storm, you know. If it is me sleeping in the storm, a saliva will come out. I'm not saying Jesus. I'm saying it. So enjoying. Jesus, they wake him up. He wake up. He didn't. Hey, what happened? He didn't. He just said, you're doing peace. This thing, right? Am I exaggerating? No, right? Jesus was never caught by surprise. He has overcome the world. He has prepared the day. Each day, he has appointed the day. Amen. So that is a negative thing. Before we look at what it means to prepare the day, you say a person who does not prepare the day, who does not learn to prepare or appoint the day, lives as a victim. Do you want to be a victim or a victor? Jesus gives us a promise to be overcomer. But this happened before. Yes. How are you going to respond? Are you going to practice insanity? Really? You're shocked that we are insane. Every time the same thing happens, you respond exactly the same way. And we expect things to go different. And we pray, we fast. God, change, change, change. But we respond the same way. Can I tell you something? God listens to your prayer, or God listens to your heart and life. Many times we pray, we say things, right? But then when things happen, we also say other things that cancel out all our prayer. You mean God only hears when we pray, then when we talk other things, God close the eye, close the ear. You see or not? Sometimes we cancel our own prayer. God, give me this, give me that. Huh? But then our heart says something else. Cannot, cannot, impossible. Doctor say cannot. God, please heal. God, please heal. I fast and pray all day. It's like, bully you. Mole.
Mole.
Correct, my Cantonese is very good, right, Sister Rosie? Mole, you're correct, right? Mole, okay. Mole, you all laugh because I'm Hokkien, right? Mole, okay. You cancel your own prayer. I'm just giving an extreme thing. But when you pray, what you say, we think that God hears. But God also hears our heart. God hears us in totality. Remember last week I talked about the aroma, sweet aroma. What we say must match us. The worship that we give must match our character, our heart. Amen. Why is it that everybody can worship, everybody can pray, everybody can praise, but why we do not see what the Old Testament happened in the Old Testament? When the Old Testament people, when they sacrifice, when they pray, when they worship, the glory comes down. Is it still the same God? Because God sees not just the words. Does the word, does the worship match our heart? Hallelujah. Amen. Our prayer we can give, we can say beautiful prayer, we can fast and pray. But many times, the inner talk inside us, we talk to ourselves many times, right? The inner talk cancels out what we pray. Right? Do we want to do that? That is insanity level 2. 2.0. First, you keep doing something, you hope to have a different result, you expect a different result. Insanity 2.0, more advanced one is, you pray, then you give out a different vibration. You know, you say, yes, Jesus. But when you leave the place to pray, all the vibration, the frequency is different one. Hallelujah. Then you go and gossip here, gossip there. You know what this problem is, you know. My financial need, very terrible, you know. I am Lim Guan Eng. Now you don't blame Najib, you blame Lim Guan Eng. Right now, he's the finance minister now. People change very fast, right? Hey, why? I know last time you sell property, you won't get tax now. God bless me. God, you are my provider. Then your different vibration you release, you begin to complain about, you know, economy bad. I arranged wrongly. One dosek. You pray, God, you are my supplier, right? Jehovah Jireh, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Jehovah Jireh, oh God, you bless me, bless me. You go out, you talk to people. One dosek. Malaysia, oh, say, huh? Say, kang, and all that, what is it? Hampalang saya kan. Sorry, my apologies for my Cantonese. See, kena. Can you see or not? We cancel what we say and we pray. Strange, right? Is it strange? Insanity 2.0. Hallelujah. I give you another negative aspect. If we do not intentionally prepare for the day, if we do not intentionally prepare for the day, then the question is, what will shape that day? Do you see or not? If you do not intentionally prepare a point that day, what will shape your day? Your day will usually be shaped by your past. In Romans chapter 12, it says, do not be conformed by this world. Conform means they want to make you into this mold, right? They want to, the world will shape you. So if you do not prepare for the day, the day may be shaped by the world. The day might be shaped by your past. Because your day will then be ruled by the experience of the past. Many of us love to have the gift to resurrect the dead. Right? Jesus promised one, right? Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead. Freely you have received, freely give. But unknowingly, we have been practicing the miracle of resurrection. Unknowingly. The past is long gone and dead. But every day, we, in Jesus' name, we call out the past. The past comes out again.
Hello.
In your life. Does it make sense? Your past is dead already, you know, your past experience. Oh, last time my people hurt me, they stepped on me, I feel so rejected and all that. Then the next time you encounter similar event, the same feeling of rejection all come. Why? You, in Jesus' name, you call forth Lazarus. You call forth the old experience. The past is long dead and gone. But you call it forth. In Jesus' name, come forth. You feel the same rejection. You remember the same event of the past. Your day is then shaped by what happened 2 weeks ago. Your day is then shaped by what happened 10 years ago when you were a child. When the first thing happened, when the first event that shook you happened, I never knew this happened. And the first time it happened, it shaped you and you carry that with you. The next time it happens, the past shaped you. You resurrect the past. Scary or not? Yeah, you're resurrecting the past. They are all the past is already in the coffin. You're going to break the coffin, call it out, past, call it out some more. But I want to be very careful. Let's look at Psalms chapter 90, verse 12. It says, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Does not mean that we do not learn from the past. Okay? Let's be balanced here. We know that last time this thing happened, right? Does not mean I have to react in fear. The fact that I keep reacting in fear is I'm resurrecting the past. But I keep on doing certain things to cause this to happen. I'm not applying wisdom. God also wants us to prepare the day to avoid certain things to happen. Because you and I have wisdom. Experience gives us wisdom. So it is not meant to create another superstition. Hey, next time that my boss prays me, suddenly he will give me 10 more work. Then you say, why like that? Then it happens again. My boss prays me, now 20 work. Then you believe, oh, I don't want him to praise me. The third time he prays you, you expect it to happen. Your expectancy resurrect the past, it becomes a bondage in your life. Every time your boss praises you, you get 20 jobs, additional 20 jobs. The boss also don't know why. Every time he praises you, he will give you 20 jobs. Do you see that? Does it happen in your life? Every time certain things happen, some things happen. You create a superstitious belief. But the Bible says, so that we may gain a heart of wisdom. The next time it comes, I must not react in fear. I must not give in to this belief. Amen. Amen. Do you see that? It's just a matter of your belief, your thought shaping you, the past shaping you. And you and I don't know, we are caught in that bondage. And we have made ourselves so many beliefs, so many superstitious beliefs. And we call ourselves Christians, and we say, when they say, when God bless me, sure got problem. Some people have this funny idea, right? When I don't pray in the morning, the whole day, I will have a lot of problems. It is something you believe. Of course, prayer is very important. But does the Bible say that? We are to live in God, right? Prayer is without unceasing. But some Christians have a superstitious belief. I don't go to church 2 weeks, I meet with an accident. No such thing, right? Cancel it, break it in Jesus' name. All of you look at it. Oh. Amen. Okay? So what shapes us? Some people, you look at different lives. Some people, let's look at two different lives. Both of them come from very poor background, poor family. One succeed. One is still very poor. One choose to be defined. Their life is defined by the past. They always say, I'm very poor. They give excuse. I'm from a poor family. You know Jinjiang? I come from Jinjiang. No, like, I'm from Penang. I'm just, I give an example.
How much is Jinjiang?
But those who succeed, their life is never defined by the past. Yeah. Their life is defined by their destiny, by the future. Our lives is shaped by the future, by the destiny. We don't give excuse for the past. Hey, I come from a broken family. Forever you are, I'm broken. Doesn't shape you. You are not shaped by your past. Amen. No lie, I come from a unsuccessful life. My father also not successful. Grandfather also not successful. How can I be successful? Then Jesus will say what? So be it according to your faith. Huh? So be it according to your faith. You define your life by your past, your background. Are we free today? Amen? We are free. Hallelujah. Huh? We are not bound by our past. God wants us to have a heart of wisdom. Not fear, not create a own superstitious belief. Amen?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. That means we are not shaped by the past. We are not shaped by that day. If we are shaped by that day, you live like a que sera, sera person. Whatever will be, will be. The future is not us to see. Christine cannot sing this song. Christine cannot sing this song. Christian's life is not que sera, sera. You have a God. You have a future. He has a plan for you. That day is not que sera, sera. Whatever happened, happened. No. Money come. No money, no money, no. I live by faith. Sounds very spiritual. Right? Very, like very, wow, this person. Got faith, no? He say no faith, no? He doesn't have a... He let the day determine his life. He didn't let his life determine his days. Think over it again. Some people let that day shape their life. The day determine their life. Today is a bad day. But some people let their life determine the day. Whether it's a good or a bad day, I am abiding in the shadow of His mighty wings. Hallelujah. I'm unshaken because I am abiding with Jesus. Not, okay, don't get me wrong. A lot of people just confess. Okay, that's very good, but we have to go another level. It has to be real in you. Why can Jesus be so calm, be so peaceful? It is a living reality for him. At any point in time, he looks to the sky, he looks at the Father. If you look at the Bible, when he broke the bread and multiplied the bread, he looked to the spirit realm. It is a living reality to him. He sees what the Father does. He multiplies the bread. It's not just confess. You know, yes, that's the first level. We first learn by confessing. If you are always very scared and not bold, you start by confessing. I hear a lot of God's servants, they do that. But in Christ Jesus, I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. In Jesus' name, you keep confessing. Yes, that's very good. Confession is very good. But you then have to enter into the reality of what you confess. People don't go there. Because this one means relationship. Everyone say relationship. This one means a divine exchange. Now, like what I say last week, it is experiential Christianity. It is not just intellectual. I know many principles. I know many teachings. I know many formulas. But I don't know God. Many preachers are like that. They can give many great teachings. I never experienced God. I do not know the love of God. God did not design us for that. We are wired for a vibrant, experiential relationship with God. You and I must experience the reality of His union inside us. In the Bible, it says, we are joined to God. If we are Christian, we are joined to God. What does it mean? Your spirit and the spirit of God is joined. Okay, it's a truth. Can you experience it? Can you experience your own spirit? Why not? Amen. It has to be that. Jesus, whatever Jesus said, is real. So, beyond confession, we have to step into the reality of what we confess. Amen. Yeah. Let our life determine our days. It is intentional. It is purposeful for every day. Amen. Okay, so the last point I want to look at it is, so how do we appoint our day? How do we prepare our day? Let's look at Psalms chapter 118. Psalms chapter 118, very familiar verse that the psalmist declared something in. Psalms chapter 118, verse 24. If you have found it, say yes.
Yes.
Only one person. Psalm 118, verse 24. Have you found it? Hallelujah. Let's read all together, whatever version. One, two, go.
This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it.
Yeah, this one I know. This one I sing so many times already, right? What's so special about it? See, Brother Joseph immediately can sing already. Old one also have. This is the day that the Lord has made. The new one is, this is the day that the Lord has made. Or is it Justin also can? Maybe you can start a new one, so rap on. This is the day that the Lord has made. That's okay, right? Cannot. So what is it? We just make it become too familiar. This is a song. But what is the psalmist declaring? Something powerful. This is the day when you wake up. This is the day that God created. No bad luck. No fate. Today fated already, I'm gonna need this. It's fated already, bad luck. It's bad luck. No, this is the day that God has made. Every day, hello. Who is your God? Who is my God? We begin to recognize the source of that day, the maker of that day. He is a holy God. Every day I learn to, number one, consecrate that day. Because it is made by God. It is set apart. God, this is the day you have made. I choose to rejoice and be glad in it. Whatever comes, I choose to rejoice and be glad in it. Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. You mean when something bad happens, I also do that? Yes. Yes. I don't know whether you have read the book of Job. It's a very tough standard. Do you know Job? Children die, business die, everything die. He heard the news. He fell to his knee and say, "Blessed be the Lord God. Jehovah gives, Yahweh gives, Yahweh takes away." Wow. You mean he acted this out? For people to see. No. It was his life. Can you imagine? A family member died and one go. How many family members died? He dropped not to complain. He said he worshipped God. Wow. He recognized the source. I read a testimony of a servant of God also did that. His daughter died in a crash in an accident. And he just dropped down and worshipped God. Said, "God, give me my daughter, you took her away." Wow. Wow. You are not affected by it. That's a very high standard. Honestly, I don't think I'm there yet. Correct? Right? How many is there? How many of you are there? Drop it. Hallelujah. People will be saying, did you kill him? Are you his murderer? People will be suspicious, like, suddenly fall dead. Hallelujah! That is your enemy, maybe.
Poison.
Your enemy fall, drop dead. Hallelujah! Jehovah takes, Jehovah gives, Jehovah takes away.
Immediately next day, you see the headline, handcuffed. Oh, yeah.
Because your enemy died, right? But this is talking about the children. Why? He recognized it is God who has made the day. God is the maker of the day. He is in control. Not any luck, not any chance, not any faith, not any wood. Okay? Because you want to touch wood, right? So not any wood determine your day, not in control. Amen. Amen. So we have to, if you recognize God is the source of that day, maker of that day, you will have a heart of wisdom to align yourself with the maker. Hallelujah. What does it mean? You consecrate means you align yourself, your spirit, your soul, your body, align with God. You know what's alignment, right? Your car needs to go for alignment, right? Because your wheel all go haywire, you need to go for alignment. Alignment means one line, same line. Align ourselves internally. Check yourself in your heart, in your mind, in your thought, in your speech. Anything is out of line with God. My confession, my thoughts, different from the nature and character of God. Am I conscious of He who is within me? Am I aware? When I consecrate, I'm aware. The one who made and created today is within me. Hallelujah. So you see, Jesus walked everywhere. He's very conscious His Father is with Him. He walks here to do the Father's will. Come what may, Pharisees come. People want to push Him over the cliff. He just walked past them. People want to throw stone at Him. He just disappeared. What is that? Because He was aligned with the maker of that day. He is not afraid of whatever will happen. In other words, what is He saying? I will not die one man. If it is not for me to die today, I won't die one. Not to say reckless, lah. Then I can drive, doesn't mean you can live recklessly. I won't die one. Today is not my death day. It's wisdom, man. There must be balance. Psalm 90 always is a very balanced word. It says, teach us to appoint our days, prepare our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Okay? Amen? So we recognize who is the source, who is the maker of our day. Amen? And then Jesus, I give you another verse, I read for you, doesn't matter. Luke chapter 9, verse 51. Jesus, this talks about Jesus. Now it came to pass, when the time had come for Jesus to be received up, that He steadfastly set His face to go to Jerusalem. When He knew that it was time for Him to fulfill God's purpose, whether it is to go to the cross, to be betrayed, to die on the cross, He set His face steadfastly to go where God has asked Him to go. What does that mean? He aligned Himself with the purpose of God. Tell your friend to your left, to your right, purpose. Purpose. Job chapter 42 verse 2 says, Job himself said, I know you can do everything. No purpose of yours can be withheld from you. Which means, in other version it says, none of your purpose can be thwarted. Wow. It speaks of the power of God's purpose. No human will can thwart the purpose of God. So, the second way, after we consecrate, we recognize God is the maker of the day. Number two, we must recognize God's purpose for that day. Hallelujah. There is a purpose of God in every day. But it's a mundane thing. Everything I cook, I teach children. Every day I drive, I do this, I do that. Recognize the divine purpose in the mundane. Not every day you and I will conduct miracle crusade, right? Not every day you will have a heart, you will... In the mundane, there is the purpose of God. Recognize His voice, the spiritual activity inside you. Recognize what He's talking to you. Recognize that throughout the day. Recognize His purpose for every day. There is a purpose. When Jesus knew His purpose, He approached each day with intent. He was determined. He didn't cower. He didn't shy away. Oh, yo, I'm going to the cross. He went. He set His face like a flint. He said, I will do this. No one can change my mind. Nothing can stop me. We approach the day, we prepare the day, appoint the day by recognizing His purpose. What does that mean? There is a purpose in whatever that comes our way. Before you react in fear, before you react in negativity, recognize that is God's purpose.
You mean God allows this kind of thing to happen?
God is bigger than the devil. Don't point your finger all the time, it's the devil. There is a purpose there. So how do I know the purpose? I yield to Him. I surrender to Him. I don't fight. Not I, but Christ. When I choose to surrender and don't react in anger, when I choose to yield to Him and not react in cursing someone, not react in sulking. When your parents and your teacher say, don't do this, you don't react in anger or sulking, you surrender, say, okay, there's a higher purpose for me. Then you will realize, oh, if I don't do this, it's for my good. There is a purpose that the teacher wants to tell me. There is a higher purpose that I will know. But if I sulk there, being unhappy there, not happy, the teacher doesn't like me, the teacher hate me, the teacher practice favoritism, you don't know the purpose of the teacher. You will forever say, the teacher doesn't like me. The teacher has something against me. Amen. But if you choose to surrender, the teacher said, stop reading the comic. Now I'm teaching. You do all kinds of things, right? You've missed the purpose. That's a very simple illustration. But our lives, something happened. How can? God doesn't love me anymore. God doesn't care for me. But if I yield, this thing happened. I yield to God. What is it you are doing in my life? Amen. God, what do you want to show me? I don't want to be insane. Keep on responding the same way all the time. What is it you are showing? I surrender to you. There is something you have prepared for me for this trial. With this trial, what is the gift behind the trial? With this trial, what is the special blessing you have reserved for me? Sometimes God prepared a trial because there is some hidden Christmas present there for you and me. But we resist the trial. We resist it so much. But when we yield, say, okay, God, okay, it's not the devil. I believe you're greater than the devil. What is it you're showing me? And suddenly God shows you. Without which, you don't go through this, you don't overcome this, you never receive something of eternal value. You will never have patience, for example. You will never learn what it means that God is so real to you. You will never know what it means to have peace. Peace all is just a concept. But when you surrender and say, okay, God, I can't go through this. I'm going to react in anger. God, what is it? I need peace now. Suddenly, you feel a supernatural peace. Hey, what's that, God? I've never felt that before. Suddenly, for the first time in your Christian walk, you experience supernatural peace. I said, hey God, I want this. Do you see that? All along you have been fighting. Must be the devil. Bind the devil in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. You fast, you pray, and you react. Never recognizing there is a purpose. Doesn't mean God wants you to go through this forever. But once you discover the grace behind the trial, the present that He has prepared for you because of the trial will end. Because you've learned, you've got the purpose. Something eternal is now added unto you. A different facet of God's knowledge is imparted to you. Wow, hallelujah. You walk in a different level of faith now. Faith doesn't come by reading certain books. Suddenly, your understanding, your knowing of God deepens. Oh God, this is how you work. Even in this situation, you are in control. Your faith goes to a different level. All along you fight, God cannot be, I reject. How can this happen? You cry, you get discouraged, you get disappointed. But then you realize, hey, even in this, God is present. The next time the same thing happens, your faith responds differently. I've gone through this. I know that peace. I know God is in control. I walk differently. Amen. Amen. His purpose cannot be thwarted. Hallelujah. We consecrate the day. We consecrate ourselves to God's purpose. We surrender and we yield to Him. There are always two purposes. There is a purpose, a destiny we have on this earth. In that circumstance, what is God's purpose for me? What's God's destiny in that circumstance? And the deeper purpose is, what is God showing Himself to me? That another deeper purpose is in respect of our relationship and our walk with God. Many people always focus only on the first level of purpose. What is my destiny? What am I going to do? Am I apostle, prophet, teacher, pastor? What ministry am I doing? That's just one level. And they miss the second level, which is eternal. Your relationship with God. What is God showing in that particular circumstance? Hallelujah. Shall we rise? Pray that you are blessed this evening by what we learned this evening. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And I ask Brother Joseph to just play the guitar. I just want you to open your heart for a moment. Just spend a few moments together to surrender our hearts, you know. All of us come from different backgrounds. We face different trials. Some of us are facing different trials, different circumstances in our lives. But today there is a secret, there's a spiritual principle we learn that we can appoint, we can prepare our day. So right now I just want to ask that you just open your heart, close your eyes, ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you. What is the area that you and I can surrender and yield? Maybe we have a certain set of behavior or a certain set of response that we are so used to that it has become a bondage in our lives. Tell God, God, I'm letting go of that. There are certain circumstances in our life we react, we respond this way. Maybe it is time for us to say, God, I surrender. I recognize you are God, you are in control. I want to know your purpose in that area, in this trial I'm facing. What is the purpose, Lord? What do you want to reveal to me? What is the eternal substance? What is the eternal life that you want to impart to me? The knowledge, the understanding. I yield to you. I consecrate my heart. I consecrate my soul, my thoughts to you this evening. Some of you, maybe God is telling you suddenly to prepare for the coming day. Suddenly God say, hey, my son, my daughter, the days ahead, there may be some slippery steps ahead of you. Sometimes God cautions us. We are along a path and the steps may become slippery. God cautions us. Stick close to me. Stick close to me. As long as you hold my hand, I will hold you when there are slippery steps. You see, when you consecrate yourself, when you surrender yourselves, God tells you. God speaks to you. And He says, come, abide closer to me. Then you won't fall. When you are faced with a circumstance when it becomes slippery, you won't fall. You'll recall, hey, God has spoken to me on this. I grab hold of His hand. I choose to respond in faith. I choose to respond in love. Jesus, we come to you tonight. We open our hearts. Speak to us, Holy Spirit. Lift your hands. Just open your heart, talk to me. We need you, Holy Spirit. We need you, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come appoint our days. Come prepare our days. We surrender, we yield our lives to you. We consecrate our lives to you. We consecrate our days to you, Lord. Come, impart wisdom to us, O God. Impart wisdom to us. How much we need His wisdom. How much we do not see our vision. Most of the time, is obscured by the things, by the past that haunt us, by the past that shaped us, and our vision becomes obscure. Give us clarity, O Lord. Open our eyes of our heart, O God. We need you. We call upon
upon you, O God. We thank you, you are in control. We thank you, you made the day for us. You are the maker of our days. You create our days. You are the source of our days, O God. Thank you, Lord. You're in control. Nothing happens without your permission, Lord. Nothing happens without your permission, Lord. Your purpose for me will not be thwarted, O God. Shake it all about the
God, set me free from this bondage. God, show me your purpose in this trial. Whatever it is, in your own way, in your own words, reach out to God. Lift your hand as a sign of surrender. Lord, I don't understand, Lord, but I choose to yield. I choose to surrender so that your purpose can be manifest in my life. That is your prayer. Lift up your hands. And as you sing again with all your heart, seek Him in your heart. Just sing the chorus. If you can concentrate without singing, it's fine. The song is just to help you to focus. Don't let your mind run here and there. Say, Lord, I know you're speaking to me tonight. You're releasing a spiritual principle to me. Lord, I want to learn, but I cannot do it. In your word, you say, not by might, not by power, but by your spirit. Tonight, may your Holy Spirit impart something in my heart. May your Holy Spirit release and impart wisdom and life to me. That is your prayer. Lift your hands to me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. Let's reach out to Him. Let's reach out to Him. Shaka Baba Mia.